This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Number two, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Barton Hahn. ESPN Radio, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 to be part of the conversation, and we will get you involved as quickly as we can. You can get us on social media at Barton Hahn on Twitter and Instagram.
Hey, everybody. My name is Bart Scott. I played in the NFL for 11 years, and I'm from Detroit, Michigan. That's why I'm a little crazy. And that's why a lot of my style and the things I say are very similar to Jalen Rose, because we both crazy. He's from the west side. I'm from the east side. Now you know me. Now what's up?
Yeah, it's like a thing. It's like, you know, remind the people who you are and let them get to know you a little bit. And I'm always like, there's nothing about me that really matters. But Bart has a lot to say. So that's Bart. And I'm a guy who's just a sports writer from New York who's been in this business for 25 years. And according to fans in Houston,
very casual
NBA fan. Really don't watch the NBA that much. So, unfortunately. But Bart knows the NFL really well. And you want to get into some NFL right now?
Let's do it.
Because there's some headlines, man. Next week's a big – all right, so now it really starts. The machine starts to work, right, coming up? Because – you know, when we get to March 17th, it's not just St. Patrick's Day.
Right. It's real.
But it's also the start of the new league year, as they say. And with that in mind, it's not next week. It's like in 2 weeks. But with that in mind, Diana Rossini was hearing something very interesting about what could happen next week as a result of getting ready for the start of the new league year. Diana, what did she say?
So here's what we're going to see next week. You know, a head coach was explaining to me that there are going to be a lot of cuts because they're not going to be able to restructure a lot of these guys. A lot of veteran, older players are going to wind up getting cut. Big names, I keep getting told. So usually we see that around this time, but the sense I'm getting is it's going to be pretty extreme next week as everyone's going to try to free up some cash at the start of free agency.
So that's Diana Rossini from Shanae and Golic.
Yeah,
and Bart, what does that tell you? Is this like out of the ordinary?
No,
that
it's
doesn't
not.
Sound typical. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of slashing going on next week.
Right, because it's uncertainty about what the true salary cap is going to be. They're trying to see what the cash is going to be with the salary cap, and you know what happens is a lot of these cuts usually happen, but we're a little distracted because this is the time where a lot of executives will be making deals in the unofficial tampering period at the combine. That's where most contracts are made. Your agent's not out there because they want to look at their college clients coming into the league and try and position them for where they're going to be drafted. That's what pro days is for. That's what everything else is for after that. The combine is a place where you go and you go to St. Elmo's, you sit there, get that that hot ass shrimp sauce or whatever they have there. I don't eat crustaceans, so I don't know.
Really?
Right, so no Nemo for me. Come on, man. You know how I roll.
You don't eat crustaceans?
No Nemo. Right. So, I mean, so usually those are where all the contracts are really unofficially agreed to. That's why you see players at, you know, it used to be 12 o'clock. At 12:01, you see all these names flying off the board. Now they
shotgun wedding.
So they got like, oh man, he agreed in 1 minute. That was quick. Like, come on, you know. So like,
4 years, $75 million. Take it or leave it.
Take it. So that's going to start happening now. So now, you know, you look at what's going to happen is it's going to be a lot of cuts because you know right now teams are trying to jockey for space for some of these free agents that I believe are going to get tagged anyway. And, you know, we don't really know who's going to be the true free agents, who's going to hit the market, because a lot of guys are going to get franchised before the deadline. I believe the deadline is March 9th or something
9th,
like that.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So it's like March 9th right there. So then it's going to give teams and executives more of an indication of who they're bidding for. And then as that pool starts to shrink, now guys are like, well, man, we got to have a lot of money because now, you know, you think about this is supposed to be a draft where it's supposed to be a lot of – you know, pass rushers available, a lot of receivers available. Well, if they all get tagged, then you're like, man, shoot, we're only competing for one. You know, so who knows what's going to happen in Baltimore, what's going to happen, you know, with some of the pass rushers that are available, what's going to happen down, is Barrett going to get tagged, you know, or who's going to get the franchise tag? They're going to give it to Godwin or they're going to give him a long-term contract. So this is the time where teams are trying to figure out and get their free agent board. See, they got their draft board that you got everybody frantically working on. And then now you have your free agent board about who's available and best fits. and you know, we see who comes over. And usually you have that mad rush at the beginning, and then you have it slow down after that first rush of the obvious, right? The obvious, you would say, would be Shaq Barrett if he's available. It would be Yannick Ngakoue. It would be Judon. It would be Bud Dupree. It would be all the guys that are like top 10 of the picks, Tooney. But then you have those secondary picks where people try and figure out, okay, who can we supplement once we get in the draft? Mm-hmm. So once we get to the draft, we say, okay, where are we going to get this player in the draft? So, oh, somebody else took him, so now we got to supplement to the secondary draft. So now that NFL schedule starts, man, it's going to be exciting to see what happens. But you're going to see a lot of people get cut as well because a lot of signing bonus money for contracts, offseason bonuses, roster bonuses, workout bonuses are going to start to become due once these players report. So now you're going to see teams say, you know what, we're not going to give up $2 million if we think we're going to replace this guy in free agency or we're going to replace him, you know, in the draft. So let's get him out of here so we can free up $2 million. And it's already happened. You saw Henry Anderson got cut. You saw, you know, oddly enough, it's crazy when you think about down in Miami after, you know, Van Noy, they just signed him. That's a lot of dead cap money because they couldn't find anybody to trade for him. But now you throw him to the mix, and now teams will say, okay, that's another pass rusher out there. That's mm-hmm. another Swiss Army knife. So things like that are going to be happening, and the free agent board is going to be changing left and right. And this is when the NFL really gets exciting because, you know, last year when Tom Brady went to Tampa, you know, we didn't realize the gravity of that move. He's like, ah, Tom Brady went to Tampa. Why go to Tampa? And he's the Super Bowl champion. So it's some couple of moves out there that could be the difference in getting a good team to great. You know, so you look at teams like Buffalo, and it's not always about the big splash. It's about finding that pick that can get you over the top, that can make the difference.
What you like, I actually find it interesting because it is the contrast between the NFL and the NBA with free agency, mainly because the NFL takes care of free agency first and then goes to the draft.
It's weird.
Whereas in the NBA, you draft and then go to free agency. I don't know. Which one do you like better? Is it better to handle free agency first and then use the draft to fill in the blanks? Because sometimes it's, you know, I think in the NBA it's a little bit backwards. I'm going to draft, but I'm really not going to be interested in these guys. And within 2 weeks, I could end up trading a bunch of them to get what I really want.
Well, I think the NFL does it that way because they want to get that salary cap money spent first. And then, you know, teams, guys are – and they know that when you do it that way, then you can trade some of those draft capital because you may not need it and you can drop down.
Right.
And, you know, you really want to get the money spent because we have to spend a certain amount. Teams have to spend a certain amount of that money. Teams aren't allowed to just keep carrying a lot, boatloads of money from year to year because we feel like they're, and that's not in the great interest of competition.
Of course.
If they're not spending the money. So I like it that way, but that's the only way I know, right? I don't know how it would work if it was the other way, if it was the draft first. And then it was free agency. I guess it can work either way. You know what I mean? But we're just so accustomed to it happening that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as many trades. It's not a lot of draft day. The guys don't get drafted to get traded in NFL. You get drafted, you stand there.
Yeah, the NBA, there's a million pictures of guys wearing hats of teams they don't even play for. And that happens. But I know it's obviously funny in the NFL, too. They do the same thing with the cap. And, you know, that pick was already traded. Jacksonville has the most cap space, $82 million. The Jets right after them at $77 million. And the Colts at $71 million. I mean, that's incredible. And they just got Carson Wentz
right
in the deal. And so they've got some room now to continue to build. We got Chris in New Jersey on Carson Wentz and the Colts. What's up, Chris?
Barnhan, I love you guys. Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
I just wanted to talk about, you know, Carson Wentz. At first, I was a little skeptical about it. But now it kind of makes sense because he's reuniting with Frank Reich. And I feel like he has the best opportunity now to resurrect his career. He was once an MVP candidate. So what do you think about his potential being on a better team, O-line, good run game, and quality receivers? What do you think about Carson Wentz resurrecting his career?
I think the Colts are a Super Bowl contender now with Carson Wentz. I mean, you think about, you know, Baker Mayfield, his second year, like, and how bad that was. And then they started to protect him again, go out and get Conklin in free agency. They make the draft, you know, go get a left tackle, Conklin. And all of a sudden, you know, they're beating the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs. And Baker Mayfield is playing a lot more efficient. He seems confident. He seems poised. And he seemed like the player that we saw the first year before they traded Zeitler and all those guys, you know, to bring Olivier Vernon and guys over. So we all know that protection is key. Well, when you look at the Colts, they have one of the best offensive lines. I know they're going to potentially lose Costanzo, but, you know, now with protection, a good running game, a solid team, that's the team that Carson Wentz had the MVP season with, that type of personnel. So I think it's no reason to think that he won't go back to that player. And now, guess what? He's going to do everything he can do to prove himself right and to prove the Eagles wrong. So you're going to get his best effort, and I think Frank Wright understands who he is as a player and how to put him in the best positions to be successful. And with all that cap money, just think of all the things you can put around him. I know T.Y. Hilton is up, but they got Pittman, and they have the ability to go get a Galladay. They got the ability to go get a Juju Smith-Schuster. They can pick who they want. They can go out and get Henry Anderson. I mean, not Henry Anderson. Henry from the Chargers to be able to improve him as a tight end position. So, you know, I think that's a team that you have to look out for, because I think they're going to be great.
I just got an ESPN alert on my phone, so we got some breaking news. You want to hear it?
Let's
do
it.
Ben Roethlisberger signs a new contract for 2021.
Nah, man, that was the worst kept secret in the world. Where else could they go?
You knew they were going to come up with a new deal, right? You knew they were coming up with a new deal. Now I've got to dig.
They're not going to give you the details, but
the
I guarantee
a tweet on this, because I want to get the details on.
It's probably like $20 million. They found a way to give him an extension, and they're going to get basically a 1 year deal,
so that they can right?
Like, yeah, because $41 million just wasn't even viable. They got to try and make a decision on if they're going to pay Micah Fitzpatrick. They lost, you know, Pouncey. They got to go out and try and find some players in free agency. And they got to get some talent to try and make this final run before they're in rebuild mode with a backup quarterback, hoping that Dwayne Haskins can be the future, and that it was more about Washington and their inability to coach this guy up, and maybe some immaturity issues. But then they're hoping that maybe he could be the future, and they've stolen a first-round draft pick that they didn't have to give up first-round compensation to get. So I guarantee you that deal for the work, because even if they cut him, the dead cap money was like $21 million. So if they're going to try and make it work, they want to give him an extension to say, Ben, you've made your money. If you want to write to play with one team, one of those great things like somebody in your class did in Eli Manning, play for one organization, two Super Bowls, right off into the sunset, not be one of these guys like Johnny Unitas or Peyton Manning that has a uniform that we don't recognize the player in, then this is your final shot, man. If you want to do that, it's going to cost you money, not going to cost us money.
Right, and so we all knew this was coming, but still, it was some thought of, did he play his last game with Pittsburgh? Were they ready to just move on without him if you're Big Ben? And you're like, you know what, though? That's my money. Like, why wouldn't you just say, all right, I'll just retire then? You got to, you know, one way or another. But no, he's getting some. We don't have the details yet of the contract, waiting to see if they do come out. But there is a quote from GM Kevin Colbert, and he just said, we are excited. We're able to come to an agreement with Ben Roethlisberger on a new contract for him to return to the Steelers in 2021. We know that Ben can still play at a high level and do special things for this team. Our goal remains the same, to put together a roster that will compete for another championship. We are happy that Ben will be one of our leaders to help us accomplish that goal. Now, the Steelers are one of the teams in the red when it comes to free agency.
Big time.
So for them to try to build a team with that, let's see how much he did save them. But, you know, that does kind of put to rest one of the quarterback questions, right, Bart? But
yeah.
But a question, though, that I mean, this is continuing to be. There's three guys now we're all talking about. It's obviously Deshaun Watson, it's Russell Wilson, and Dak Prescott. Dak sometimes is lost in the conversation, but it's a real one. March 9th is the franchise tag day, and I mean, it just seems inevitable at this point. But there's been this conversation about maybe the Cowboys should just trade for Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson doesn't want to be in Seattle, it seems, and the Dallas Cowboys are on his list. Like I said the other day, I just don't know why that would make sense on many levels. You said Dak Prescott is not going to accept the trade. He doesn't have to. Why would he do any of that stuff? You get his franchise and you move forward. So with that in mind, Chris Canty, our good friend of the show, who's on DCR in New York, 98.7 ESPN in the mornings, he was on Get Up Today. And he had this take about the whole idea of Russell Wilson as a Cowboy and Dak Prescott.
Dak actually wants to be a Cowboy. Even with the disrespect that Jerry Jones has given him, he still wants to be a Cowboy. I think they got to find a way to get this done. The question you have to ask yourself with the Wilson-Prescott proposition is the difference in production that you're getting from Russell Wilson at quarterback worth what it would cost in terms of trade compensation to the Seattle Seahawks? I don't think it is. I stay with Dak.
Music added for effect. So do you agree with him there?
I don't.
For what it'll cost you to get Russell Wilson, would the production be worth it?
I don't.
The difference in production.
I'm trying to think of, because you know I'm football guy a lot and you're basketball guy, so I'm trying to make a proper analogy for you to understand
NBA
what
analogy?
The difference
Fair.
Is. So okay. The difference between Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott is essentially, in my opinion, the difference in Paul George and Kevin Durant, or the difference in Paul George and LeBron James. Like, it's levels to this. And yeah, Dak Prescott is a good player. And yes, he is younger. But you have to ask yourself, if I get Russell Wilson, I'm a Super Bowl contender tomorrow. I don't care if we add anything to the roster or don't add anything to the roster. We're a Super Bowl contender. With Dak Prescott, can you make that same statement, that blanket statement? I don't think you can. I don't think you can. Russell Wilson is slightly better.
He was playing like an MVP before he was injured last year.
Playing like an MVP in a whole year is a totally different thing. I think it's levels to this. Experience matters. Seeing us play at the biggest stages matters to me. And like I said, Russell Wilson, like, it's like one of those things. If you add Paul George to the Lakers, you know, are they winning the championship last year? Probably not. But if you add LeBron James, you're winning the championship. It's certain players that you insert and automatically makes you a championship contender.
You're
and
saying Dak Prescott is,
no, he's not.
Is Paul George?
Yes. Paul George might be on the outskirts looking in for a Hall of Fame career in basketball. It's not a slight at Paul George. It's just saying that this guy is on a different level. It's level. You always talk about it's different levels in the Hall of Fame, right? It's different levels to this. And Dak Prescott on his best day couldn't be Russell Wilson. And it could look the same, the body type, some of the things that they do. But when it's time to cook and it's clutch time, game on the line, I'm putting my money on Russell Wilson every day and twice on Sunday. He's a much better football player, and he's always going to be a much better football player. His ceiling is way higher than his. His ceiling may be Dak's floor.
Dak's younger.
It don't matter. Like, we already know. By year six, I know who you are. I know we all gloating and loving Julius Randle. I know we are, I know we're looking at Julius Randle like, oh my God, look, year seven, he turned it around. Listen, at certain point, you are who you are. Now, could Dak get a little better? Yes. Could he ever reach Russell Wilson's level? No. No matter what. No matter how great Ryan Tannehill looks, he's not Peyton Manning. It's just levels to it. And if you put him on that team with those weapons, you think 500 yards and MVP, you can go ahead and write Russell Wilson MVP if you put him with those weapons.
All right, I'd love to battle you on this one, but there's one more piece of sound that I want to get in here, because I like I said the other day, I feel like a homegrown quarterback. You found him, you got him in the fourth round, you developed him. He's becoming.
He wants $45 million.
All right, like I said, I wish I had more time.
That's why I kept talking.
In the podcast we don't have, we'll fight it out. I know you are. This will get you fired up. Let's hit this too. Joe Douglas talking with the media yesterday about several topics, including Sam Darnold. And he said this about Jamal Adams as well. He said it about every player. But still, him saying this about Sam Darnold, a player that we aren't sure, are they sticking with him or not? And maybe he's just trying to keep his poker face up with that number two pick. But when he's asked about, you know, getting calls about Sam Darnold, his response was interesting. Take a listen.
I will answer the call if it's made. As it pertains to Sam, Sam's a dynamic player in this league with unbelievable talent, and who's really, really has a chance to really hit his outstanding potential moving forward. Like I said earlier, if calls are made, I will answer them.
Yeah.
How do you read that?
Listen, Sam's not untouchable. We haven't even picked up his option yet. Sam's not untouchable. I have two untouchables on my squad.
Who are they?
That's Becton and Quinnen Williams. Untouchables. Everybody else, hey, you make me a good enough offer, we can talk about it.
All right, let me add this. So I'm sorry, Bart, but just because I want to update the breaking news about Ben Roethlisberger and his new deal with the Steelers. Spotrac saying the cap hit on his new contract starts at 22 $5.25 million.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, that's what the dead cap money was regardless, right? If they cut him, because they've reworked his deal and he's gotten extensions over and over again.
Well, this is – no, I'm sorry. I just want to clarify. So, cause this is the dead cap that must roll over from the previous deal.
Right, exactly.
So it's still going to cost you.
Well, but that saves you $20 million. That saves you $19 million because
well, no,
his original cap hit was 41.
Whatever the new deal is, still has to be on top of this.
Yeah, it's going to It's probably going to be around that. Right, because what they're going to do is you can prorate it, and it's the length and it's the average of the years they add on to it. So they're going to give him basically a 1 year deal that's basically a dummy deal. And he'll never see that deal, and they can move it up into signing bonuses and prorate it out and stretch it out to like $20 million. But that cap, that original cap on Spotrac is going to stay there because they can't dip below that because they've redone his contract over and over again. When you keep doing that, you can't keep doing it because people will just keep giving people new deals, and you know executives will find a way to handle the accounting to keep taking somebody's salary cap down. Just say if I keep giving you an extension, then I give you another extension, and at some point people know this ain't no real extension, right? But it helps prorate because now you divide it by more years.
You're messing with the math, right?
Exactly.
You're playing with the math. And again, just to cap off this segment, and by the way, you were an all-star here. I appreciate you, man. Because I'm reading like 7,000 things happening at once while you're breaking everything down. Going back to Diana Russini now, she tweeted out something. This is interesting too. So she was talking about how teams, the Seahawks have taken calls from teams inquiring about trades for Russell Wilson. And she adds that she was told that they're not shopping him per se.
But they're listening.
But calls made from teams inquiring have certainly been answered. And that goes back to what Joe Douglas said about Sam Darnold.
Hey.
It's what you do, I guess, is what you're saying, right?
Right.
Because you never know what somebody's going to offer you.
Hey, you want these picks back? You want Sam Darnold and these picks back? You can have your Jamal Adams picks back, and you can lower your cap. We'll take that cap because guess what? We got room. So you can take Sam Darnold, and you can take your two first-round draft picks back, and we'll take Russell Wilson.
It's fascinating, man.
Oh, USC, right? You love USC, right, Pete Carroll?
I don't even know. Like, I don't even know if that's even a reality because the Jets aren't on his list, or at least the latest list that we saw. He was on some original list that never.
They got $79 million. They can say, "Hey, Russell, come on in." They wouldn't listen to you. They wouldn't listen to you. They wouldn't listen to you.
Who do you want? Yeah,
my
exactly.
Point. They didn't
who
listen
do you
to you.
Want to come with you? We'll go get him.
Hey, come on in. We can call them together. Who you want?
Isn't that what they did with Kawhi? The Clippers said to Kawhi, "What will it take?" Well, we'll get whoever you want.
Exactly.
Well, I want Paul George. All right, we'll call up the Thunder. What will it take for Paul George? Oh, you'll have to give us just everything over the next 10 years. Done.
Okay.
And that's essentially what it was. And that's why they are where they are right now. All right, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. All right, coming up, we have audio files. In it, a well-known Knick fan sounds off about being snubbed by KD because now he's no longer emotional about it. Now he's like, I don't even need you anymore. It's actually really funny. Audio files next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Here we go. Come on, Bart. Listen to this. Drift a memory bliss of you. Come on. You know PM Dawn, don't you? Now, the only reason why I play the PM Dawn version, it's a great remix of a great song from the 80s, Spandau Ballet. True. You don't know that song, do you? Oh, my God. See, Spandau Ballet is like a song where when your boys are around and it comes on the radio, you're like, I don't know this song. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
And in the car, you're at the stoplight, this comes
it's
on.
Like, it's like, making my way like, downtown. It's like that one.
As much as true. Like, you definitely will sing it, even though you just don't want anybody to see you. That's when at the light and somebody next to you is like looking at you, you're like, oh, I'm just talking to somebody on the phone. I'm not singing this song.
Like, whoops,
but that, but PM Dawn, man, would you, do you think people sleep on PM Dawn as like a good, they were a good 90s band?
I think the most slept on person in the history is
Dylon.
Is Jamiroquai.
Really? Or are you just that out? I was hoping you had a reason for that, but I'm going to let it go.
I just love that video, man, of him walking on the little – at that time, we didn't have those little escalators that you walk on the –
moving walk.
Yeah, the moving walk. We didn't have any of that.
And he's like, dancing.
He had the first movie walk.
Yeah. Although you could argue that Michael Jackson did it when he did the moonwalk. That was like – like walking backwards on a moving walk, except he was literally just sliding across the floor.
You know, Bobby Brown said that he taught Michael Jackson how to moonwalk because it was something that they had that they had been practicing. They were doing it on Soul Train, and Michael Jackson was like, "Hey man, how y'all be doing that dance?"
Bobby Brown,
Bobby
Jackson
Brown
did that on the MTV, right? Didn't he do it on the VMAs?
Yeah, but he said, "But New Edition
or
was hot."
The Grammys, but he did it in like 1983.
Right, but that move came from Soul Train. See, he took
Bobby
it to a
Brown.
State.
Wasn't Bobby Brown like 7?
Remember, they were a New Edition. They were all kids. They were all like 12 years old. Bobby Brown, old as hell, man.
Yeah, maybe he is. I don't know. All right, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. It's a sports show, everybody.
But you learn everything.
Well, we try. We definitely try to do
that. We're
presented by Progressive Insurance. With more than 30 unique coverage options available, Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. I wonder, do you hear Emily in your voice? Because she's very stern with me when we go off the rails.
Yeah.
She's like, Get to what we got to get to.
But I feel like
she's only yelling at me.
Yeah, but when people listen to the show, it's like when you go on like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and it's like that those random facts things. If you listen to our show, we say a couple of things that could help you win the $1 million. So you're welcome.
We're like Rosie Perez on Jeopardy.
Foods that start with the letter Q.
Q.
Quits.
Well, you know what? Segments of our show that begin with the letter A, you know what that would be?
Audio vowels.
Yes. See how quick Emily was to hit that button. Like, get to it, boys. Get to it, children.
Wrap it up, B.
I understand. All right, well, let's get to something funny. As we've been talking about with Brian Windhorst throwing out that teaser, I put it on Twitter before, on Barton Hahn, about the Knicks and a star that could come to the team within the next year because they're so set up for it. Well, you thought they were set up for it 2 years ago when they were trying to get Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant did not come to the Knicks. They weren't cool, he said. So he goes to the Nets, and the Nets are great. Look, you can't deny it. They are great. They've got a big three, and they could win a championship. Tracy Morgan is a friend of the show and one of the biggest Knicks fans you will meet. I'm going to get you all pregnant. And he went on the jump, and Rachel Nichols had to ask him if he still feels a little jaded, a little jilted about KD not coming to the Knicks.
I love that because you were like, Rome is where the gladiators fight. And KD sort of took your advice about coming to New York, but he chose Brooklyn over Manhattan. How did you feel about that?
We don't need him. Look where we at now. We good. We just, when it comes to Knicks fans, we got to be patient.
Been paid. He sounds.
When I said that, I meant it.
Do you have any love for the Nets? I mean, they are Brooklyn team. They're New York team.
I got love for who?
The Nets. They're Brooklyn team.
What I love for who?
I'm sorry. Connection must not be working.
What'd you say now?
Tracy's the best.
Oh, man. He repped them, too, in his series, Real OG, man. Like, I love that series. That was a good series, him and Tiffany Haddish, man. But I tell you what, he sounded like a scarred dude that lost his girlfriend. Like, that was shunned, right?
He's straight in denial.
Yeah, he asked somebody, like, hey, will you go to dance with me? And he's like, Jimmy already asked. Like, damn it! Yeah. I hate Jimmy. I didn't want to go with you anyway. Jimmy knew I wanted to go with her, and he asked her first. I hate him. And that's the Nets, right? Yeah. We all thought that they were going to the Knicks. The Knicks said, hey, they have confidence that they're going to get a big star. I'm sure Tracy was all jacked up. He probably went out and bought some Kyrie's. He went out and bought some KD shoes. And then they went to the Nets and he threw them in the garbage and burnt them. out of spite. Just like my girlfriend, Varsavina.
Oh?
I broke up with me, and we broke up, and I cut. And my mom found the cut-off teddy bear, the head cut off of the teddy bear, and she said, son, are you okay? And ever since then, I've been crazy. I'll never give woman the power over me. Varsavina, you did this.
I need a cartoon of Bart ripping the head off of a teddy bear.
No, I cut it off. It was a tigger.
You, oh, how dare you?
People.
That's what tiggers do best. Anyway, moving on.
Where are we going with this?
Audiophiles. I don't know. We're way off the rails today. We're going to get yelled at. Audiophiles, Bart and Han, ESPN Radio. Speaking of the Nets, James Harden made his return to Houston, or Houston, as we like to say it here in New York, okay? And he had a great game, of course. He's been playing awesome. 29 points, 14 assists, 10 rebounds, a 132-114 win for the Nets as the Rockets. This is the 13 in a row now. So when he was introduced, as you know, Tillman Fertitta said, we're going to retire his number one day. That's nice. A little tribute video. That's nice. But how would the fans receive him after he forced his way out of Houston? Here's what it sounded like when he was introduced at the Toyota Center. Now remember, it's not a capacity crowd.
Sentimental moment for James Harden.
Mostly.
And you could hear the smattering of applause amongst the some 3,900 fans here.
I believe that was Mark Jones. So,
a thousand of those chairs that was drowning out the boos were from the gentlemen's club in which his jersey was retired at.
$1 million.
Yo, there. You know how many book scholarships this dude gave out? People got their education. The world is a better place in Houston because of James Harden. This dude, Sally Mae, ain't got nothing on James Harden. Book scholarship, dormitory, all that was taken care of by James Harden. You're welcome.
James Harden,
you welcome.
Scholarship fund.
Exactly.
Yes, if that's what you want to call it.
Hey, right. I want to go there. Hold up. You're a boy, man. You don't get no scholarship. It's gender specific.
That's a
move
discussion
on.
For
let's,
a different
let's,
day.
Yeah,
let's
move
let's
on.
Let's
for,
take that a
but
step.
But Mickey because, Mouse called me back. Man, our boss is
already. Yeah, there goes.
Can I apologize in part? Can 860 I apologize? 860
number on your phone right now.
Can I apologize right. in advance?
Too late. Nah, it's already out. You know what? A lot of people trying to apologize for things that they said that they definitely regret, including Creighton men's basketball coach Greg McDermott. Now, you remember we talked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
How he said, that was 2 days ago. How he used that phrase, you know, we need to stay on the plantation when it comes to his players when they lost a game and he was really angry with them.
I seen Roots, they ain't what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get off the plantation.
He fought, yeah, he apologized. The school put out a statement as well. The players got together and decided that, and McDermott actually offered to resign.
With pay.
The players said
with
no.
Pay.
And his quote was, our guys wanted me to coach, and that's my job, end quote. So McDermott staying at Creighton, despite a misspeak, and it had to have been, I mean, just an abomination. Again, a quote I've never heard of before, but again, I'm not from whatever part of the country he's from. That doesn't make it right, but it's just a weird thing to say. Anyways, Keyshawn Johnson on KJZ, had this to say about the players who said, no, we want to keep you as our coach. It'd be difficult to play for him, wouldn't it? Take a listen.
I don't know if Greg McDermott bounces back from that at Creighton. Maybe somewhere else in time. I'm not sure at Creighton if the players decide to do that.
But I don't even want to play for people like that.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't even want to play for that.
It hurts the optics of your university by keeping a guy like that on board even as you move forward. Because you know how this world is recruiting, Key? People try to use everything
over.
Against you.
Oh, it's over, though.
Everything against you.
Why would you want to go play for him?
And by the way, there's going to be so many alternatives over the next couple of days that are going to pan out about optionality for kids and what they want to do. You need your best selling points to bring top-tier talent to a university like that. And
it's not
going to be good for them moving forward.
It's not an easy cleanup.
It's not.
It's not a slip of the tongue. It's comfort. It's I'm comfortable getting up here in speaking to my team this way because I've done this somewhere in my life before and probably multiple times.
So that's the take there on that. Bart and I have given our opinions on it. It is just, again, one of these situations where –
Who's running to Creighton anyway?
It's like, come on, man.
Like, people are going to Creighton because they have to, not because they have a lot of options. Come on, man. And listen, I'm not saying that out of spite. Come on, I went to Southern Illinois. I went against Kyle Korver versus Kent Scornia. You know what I'm saying? I remember that great matchup that nobody in the world ever seen before as Southern Illinois went to the Elite Eight 2 years in a row while I was there. So, listen, Lucas. I know all about that. And nobody's running there because they have to, and that's probably why they have the coach. They probably feel fortunate to have him because usually guys go there, coach, get up like Bruce Weber for Southern Illinois, and they go
he's
to
been
Purdue.
There since 2010.
To Purdue. They go to other places. He stays, so maybe they're giving him the one pass because they know he's not easily replaced.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing bizarre. And again, from my perspective, it's one of those things that there's vocabulary that it should never even be in your head. There's things that are said. There's phrases, but phrases like that are just so bizarre to even think to use them in that moment.
Yeah, I've never used.
I can't. It's just unfathomable to even think about that kind of a phrase to use when you're trying to inspire your team. So it just the whole thing is bizarre, and continues to be. And we'll see what kind of impact it has on the school going forward. But he stays the coach at least for the rest of this season. We'll see where it goes from there. And we wanted to get Keyshawn, and also you heard Jay Will there as well. Their take on it. That is Audio Files. We are Bart and Han. Coming up again, 888 say ESPN, 888-729-3776. As we put a bow, wrap it up on the season as we head to Friday, and Bart takes a phone call. Bart and Han. ESPN Radio.
Stop catching me, man.
I caught you. I got to call you out.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott. You got me laughing right now, dude. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Han show up here on the Goodyear Hotline. If you missed any part of the show, you can find us both hours of the Bart and Han show. It posts daily as a podcast. That's the best part of it. Available wherever you listen to your podcast. And this one today was mayhem. And it includes Bart just sounding like when you turn 40. This is what you do. I'm going to get in the best shape of my life. I'm going back to my college. Like, I got to my college weight when I turned 40. Playing size. Yeah, I actually got my jersey. I have a picture of me in my jersey that I wore in high school.
You have a tapeworm?
What are you talking about?
I'm just playing.
I just worked. Anyways, I'm wasting time. But Bart and I are on Peloton now. We're all fired up about it, so we're going to compete. But meanwhile, how about some of these proposals real quick here? This one proposal is basically spot and choose. In overtime for the NFL, one team picks the spot of the ball to start overtime. The other team chooses whether to play offense or defense. You like that, Bart?
I'm a little confused. I'm trying to figure out what exactly that means.
It means I pick the spot. So I could say 40-yard line, and you could decide whether you want to play offense or defense from the 40, like from your own 40.
Yeah, that puts a lot of pressure on the person that chooses the yardage, right? Because some teams, talk about strategy. It can be very interesting because certain teams are great in the high red but not great in the red zone.
Yeah.
Certain teams are great in certain spots, and you can dictate what type of plays a team can do.
I would put it on the one, dare you.
Ooh.
We're going to shut you down. Nah, that'd be a lot of fun. We can talk more about it tomorrow, and that's what we'll do, Bart. It'll be Friday.
It's Friday already? F it Fridays. Tune in tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Han, the podcast.